right. So our scripture tonight is a familiar scripture. We see it every week when we read from the 12 steps. It's the step five scripture. And step five says that we admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And this is the scripture that goes along with it. It's fascinating. I put dates in my Bible when I read. And I last read this, evidently, February 28th, 2019. Just never know, do you? For this reason, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful in what it can achieve. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, you do know. As I listened to that song, I was reminded of the things that people used to say about what I was doing, about who I was. But you know, just not for me, but for each of us sitting in here, we are far greater than those secrets that we keep. Your love is bigger. Your forgiveness is bigger. And we stand on that truth tonight and that truth alone. Lord, speak to me, through me, and despite of me. In your holy name, amen. So we're finishing up a series. And so if you've not been here before, you're like, oh, I need to leave because I don't even know what they're going to be talking about. Hang in there. You're going to know. We're in a series called Life Together about what we do to live life together. And we've been using Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book by the same title, Life Together, about doing life together. What does that look like as a community to do life together? We said first and foremost that doing life together means we do life together under the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, first and foremost. We said, secondly, that we will use scripture and prayer as guidance and as ways to communicate with God and to learn about what God desires for us as a community and as individuals. And last week, we had the easy task of talking about loving others. Thank you for a little bit of laughter because the rest of y'all are just lying. You're not. It is. We talked about it's hard to love in that unconditional, that agape, that way that Jesus loves us. And tonight, if you weren't having enough fun last week, this week is confession. It's exciting, isn't it? It's amazing that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in a book that has five or six chapters, one whole chapter is about confession. That says something in and of itself. Now, when we think of confession, two main images come up. Here's one. Crime shows, right? And this one, this guy has always fascinated me because he always has this ability to get them to confess. And like they don't even know they've confessed. It's beautiful. But we may think, or for some of us, it may not even be a crime show. It may be our own life when we have been in a situation where we have confessed to a crime. Secondly, we may think of, how many people think of Catholicism? We have some folks in here who may have actually experienced the confessional within the Catholic Church. The rest of us just make statements, stereotypical statements about them doing that, correct? But that's oftentimes what we think of with confession, is it's this something that is not a part of who we are or what we do, but yet it very much is. The author, Susan Wise Bauer, has written a book called The Art of Public Grovel. And the book is about how famous people, politicians, celebrities, musicians, athletes, how they make these apologies in public, the public grovel. And she distinguishes the difference between an apology and a confession. She says an apology is an expression of regret. Now, let's be honest. Okay, I'll speak on behalf of myself. I'll be honest. I have made lots of apologies in my life. I've said, I'm sorry, I'm never going to do it again. I'm sorry, it's my last time. I'm sorry, I just meant to have a little bit. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and there were times that I meant I was sorry, and I was never going to do it again. But that's the insanity of addiction. And then there were the times that I told you I was sorry to get you off my back and leave me alone so I can go do what I want to do. But she says what a confession is it's an admission of fault. I'm sorry because I did wrong. I sinned. And let me tell you, I don't like to be wrong. And those words of saying, I was wrong, they're hard. They are much harder than I'm sorry. So there's a difference between an apology and a confession. Our scripture for tonight comes from the book of James. And the book of James was instrumental in the folks who were in early recovery in the beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the movement that began the recovery movement. And the book of James, as well as Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, as well as 1 Corinthians 13, were some of the scriptures that those early in AA read. And so if you read the book of James, you will see the 12 steps in there. The book of James is where we find confess your sins or confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Two instructions in that scripture. One, admit, confess. That means to acknowledge. It means that stuff that I'm carrying around that I don't want you or anyone else to know about, that I acknowledge it. I admit it. Harms we've done, harms that have been done to us, the lies. And I don't know about you, but my lies would multiply. The lies would feed the lies. It'd be like, well, okay, now I'm going to have to lie about that too. At the end of my drinking, I didn't know what the truth was. Because I'd lied so much. I was lying and I didn't have to lie. But that was all I had become to know, was lying. They build on each other. What happens when we admit and confess is we remove the isolation. And for those of you who are sitting here like, well, thank goodness I'm not like her and those other people who are liars because they drink and use drugs or pornography or gambling. Lying and confession is not isolated. It is universal. It is part of our humanity that we want to hide and isolate and remove ourselves from the truth. The second instruction says in that scripture, we're to pray for each other. Pray for each other. As we get those opportunities to be one-on-one or in our open share groups, and we start sharing that we are praying with and for each other. Accountability is critical. And just so you know, you can be in an accountability group and lie. If you say, well, I'm in an accountability group, that doesn't mean anything if you're not being honest. And all that does is it separates us. Remember, Scripture says nothing separates us from the love of God. But by golly, I sure can put a lot of barriers in between me and God. And that confession removes that. I'm in what we call a band, a small group, which can range from 2 to 5 people. And there are 2 of us in that group, and we meet weekly. And there are 5 questions that we ask each other and respond. The first one is, how is it with your soul? How is it, Brooke? Physically, emotionally, spiritually, how are you? And I answer that. Second one says, what are your struggles and your successes? What are those things going on in my life that I'm struggling with? And where are those successes? Third one is, how might the Spirit and Scriptures be speaking into my life? Now, here's where it gets fun. Do you have any sin that you want to confess? And I want to go, there's none that I want to confess. Let's be clear about that. Is there a sin I need to confess? And then the fifth question is, are there any secrets hidden any secrets or hidden things that you would like to share. It's powerful. There are times I have answered that last question and said, yes, there are secrets and hidden things, and I'll acknowledge that, but I'm not ready to acknowledge what they are. That's a process. But to have that safe place to acknowledge those, that sacred space where we get to remove the mask and our hiding, and we get to be with God and with another person, not in a guess what I did last night thing. That was my drinking days. This is, guess how I'm not aligning my life with God's will. And this is what I need to be honest about. And then the scripture gives us a purpose why we confess and why we pray for each other is to be healed. Anybody in here want to be healed? To be healed. And what this word means is to be made complete. Anyone in here feel incomplete or you feel you're divided? I've got this part of my, I felt like I lived multiple lives. Like there's the brook here. There's the brook here. There's the other brook. Oh, there's this brook. Because I had to play this game of what. And to be able to be whole and complete, that's what we desire. And confession is in the 12 steps. In step 5, it's admit to God, to self, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Now, what's interesting is I want to go, well, I've told God. And by the way, God already knew. So why do I have to tell anybody else? Because it removes the hiding. It removes the isolation. Step 10 says we take daily inventory and we watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, and we discuss them with someone immediately. So in step 5, I've laid out what my inventory says. And in step 10, I work through my days knowing I am going to be selfish, I'm going to be dishonest, I'm going to be resentment, I'm going to have resentment and fear. And when those crop up, I am going to be honest about those. Bonhoeffer speaks about what confession does for us, that it creates these breakthroughs, that we break through to community. He said, he who is alone with his sin is utterly alone. Have you ever sat with your sin and it fed and it fed? Sin isolates and it poisons our whole being. It must be brought to light. And confession, sharing that with another person, is how we do it. And sin loses its power. It's amazing how being honest breaks through. It breaks through to the cross. Confession chisels away at our pride. And we accept that the cross and Jesus Christ's sacrifice is enough to forgive us for everything that we've done and those things that we don't want to share. The cross is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. You don't have to carry it any longer. It breaks us through to new life. The old is gone. The new is here. It's not dark, it's light. It's not heavy. It's light. It's new. And it breaks us through to certainty. We deal with the concrete sins, not one of those, hey, God, you know, it's been a rough day. Sorry. When we acknowledge the exact nature of our wrongs, we call it out, we name it, we are able to see our patterns. And so when we get in that place again, we know that and we acknowledge it. And at the core of this are two practices, honesty and humility. When I confess, when I am honest with someone else about the sins in my life, I'm being honest. Not that just, Brooke, did you go to Ash Wednesday service last night? And I go, yes. It's the things, those lies of omission, where if you don't ask me the right question, then I'm not really lied. Anybody ever do that? Laughter is a sign of understanding. Yeah. You don't ask me the right question. I didn't lie. It's about living a life of honesty because we believe that Jesus has got us and that we are God's children and that we are worthy of living a life that is honest. We don't have to live the life of lies any longer. We can leave that behind. In humility, what confession, being honest about what is going on in our life, what it does is it right-sizes us. I'm not the greatest person in the world, but I'm not the worst. I love that description. I'm an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. I mean, that just so describes it. You know, I'm the best in the world and I'm the worst all at the same time. That's not humility. That's pride and reverse pride. Humility is I am right-sized. And I can go and I can be honest. And God is going to meet me in there. Interesting thing about Bonhoeffer's chapter is he ends it talking about communion. You know, you can confess and you don't have to have communion. But one of the things about coming to the communion table is that we do confess that our humanity is true, that we struggle day in and day out to live a life without what we have to have is what the table is about. The redemptive power of Jesus Christ. That when we remember what Jesus did a long time ago, it isn't a long time ago. It is about our lives today. That which we are carrying, that which we are hiding, does not own us anymore. We're God's. We are owned by our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is our truth. We've lived in the lies long enough. Time to live in the truth that brings freedom. I love how the table is open, which means I hadn't done anything to earn my right to come to the communion table. I think about the Last Supper when Jesus gathered with his friends, and there was Judas who would sell Jesus out for money, was there when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times and swore he'd never do it. Anybody ever do that? I'll never do it. And then you're doing it? Peter. We relate to Peter. And then the other disciples, with the exception of John, went and hid behind closed doors. And those were the folks that Jesus broke bread with that night and told them, "Do this in remembrance." And we stand on that truth today. We stand on that truth today. And we do confess as we come to the table. And what I will do is I will walk us through a prayer that includes some questions which we get to use as ways to confess to God where we have come up short. So let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have relied on ourselves rather than you. We have attempted to manage our own lives, only reaching out to you when we realize we are powerless, rather than resting in your power. We've not sought you with our first thoughts or actions. We question your presence in our lives if circumstances have spun out of control, oftentimes leaving us feeling abandoned by those who were supposed to love us and protect us. Lord, we consider the following question silently to ourselves. As we come to you as we are, not as we should be. Have I been resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do I owe an apology? If I kept something to myself, is there a sin that I'm hiding? Is there something that I've done that I need to confess, that I need to discuss with another person at once? Have I been kind and loving toward all? Lord, have I been thinking of myself most of the time? Or have I been thinking of what I could do for others, of what I could pack into the stream of life? Lord, we ask for healing, physical, emotional, spiritual, relational. Almighty God, we pray that you will comfort us in our suffering and make us whole. When we are afraid, give us courage. When we are weak, give us strength. When we are afflicted, afford us patience. When we are lost, give us hope. When we are alone, move others to our side. Grant us strength as we come to the communion table, that we may live within the healing that comes from taking the bread and the fruit of the vine. In your holy name, amen.